السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, today the topic of my lecture is We Are One Ummah. And I chose this topic especially because of the conditions in the world and all kinds of incidents and so on and so forth which have been reported. I think this is one message that must be clearly understood and that we need to convince ourselves and everybody else around us and act on it, that we are one ummah. There is too much of sectarianism, there are too many divisions, and this is causing untold misery and untold problems for all the Muslims everywhere in the world, and this is completely and totally unacceptable. Today, if a Muslim is asked to name the single most important thing that is missing in our lives and which is the cause of our downfall, he will undoubtedly say divisions amongst ourselves. Now, this is a strange, it would be a strange answer. Strange that this should be said about a people whose hallmark was togetherness, brotherhood, and mutual concern to such an extent that collectively they were and are called an ummah. When the Sahaba were deciding on creating an Islamic calendar, they didn't take the date of birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was not definitely known, or his date of passing away, which was authentically recorded, but they took the date of his hijrat from Makkah to Medina. Ask why. My brothers and sisters, Western democracy is based on three values that came out of the French Revolution: liberty, equality, and fraternity. Interestingly, out of these, over the ensuing years, enormous focus has been put on the first two, which is liberty and equality, sometimes in ways that are even illogical, and almost no focus on the third, which is fraternity. Again, ask why. Now, what is fraternity or brotherhood? And how is it defined in Islam? When I was in the UK just now, a young friend came to me, and he lives in one of the European countries, and he said, I want to leave the country where I am living because I am all alone. There's no Muslim company, no Islamic environment, nobody I can go to if I need to ask anything to do with Islam. Now, I was very perplexed, trying to think of which country in the West has only one Muslim, my friend. So I asked him, you mean there is no other Muslim in your country? He said, no, there are Turkish people, and there is a Turkish mosque, but they only speak Turkish and I don't speak Turkish, so there is no communication. So that was the solution to the mystery. They were Muslims, but not the kind that he wanted. Now, I'm not blaming him, because this is how we think. So I said to him, what if the Sahaba who left Arabia to take the message of Islam to the rest of the world said what you are saying? I can't live here because they don't speak Arabic. How would you and I have received this message? It's interesting to speculate what the state of our world would have been if instead of ignoring fraternity, we had actually focused on it even at the expense of liberty and equality. Liberty and equality are almost mutually exclusive sometimes, because personal freedom is often interpreted in terms of superiority and inferiority, of insiders and outsiders, of chauvinism as the basis of inclusion into groups. This directly contravenes equality and creates boundaries between people. To be concerned exclusively about ourselves and our offspring is an animal trait. It is concern for the other which distinguishes and differentiates mankind from other animals. Imagine if fraternity had been made the basis of our focus and the basis of our worldview. Liberty and equality would automatically ensue. You can hardly have slavery and discrimination when you consider the other to be not merely your friend, but your brother. And that's exactly what Islam did. It made fraternity the basis of our relating to each other. And it did that a lot earlier than the French Revolution. That is the hallmark of Islam. Concern for the other, even over and above oneself. It is because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached this message of non-discrimination, and the Sahaba accepted it and believed in it, that a unique brotherhood was established and had such a profound impact on those who experienced it that they used it to begin counting their calendar from. It was as if to say that time began when we accepted each other as brothers. That is the foundation of the spread of Islam in the world. Not complex theological theories, but a simple acceptance of other human beings as our brothers and sisters. This is the reason why we must understand what the criterion of brotherhood in Islam is. There is no guidance superior to the guidance of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. So let us see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set as the basis for brotherhood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anbiya, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاعبدون. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the same ayat with just one word different. Two surahs later in Surah Al-Mu'minun, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. The only difference is, in the first ayah it is فَعْبُدُونَ, and in the second ayah it is فَاتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly stated two bases for the foundation of the Muslim Ummah, which is the brotherhood of faith. Not a brotherhood of blood ties, not a brotherhood of tribe, not a brotherhood of color, not a brotherhood of nationality, a brotherhood of faith. And those two foundations, fa'budun, that He is our Rabb and we worship Him only, which is our basis of our iman, and fattaqun, that He is our Rabb and we obey Him only, which is the basis of taqwa. The first refers to aqidah and ibadah, which is huququllah. Ibadah, fa'budun, refers to our aqidah, what we believe, and how do we express this belief in terms of our ibadah, which is huququllah. And the second one, taqwa, the consciousness that we need to be conscious and we need to be concerned about the approval and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single action of ours. This feeling is taqwa. And this is the basis of our akhlaq, mu'amilat and mu'ashara, which is huququl ibad. Together they cover the entire gamut of human existence, personal and collective, material and spiritual, belief and action. The first ayah refers to what we believe in, and the second refers to how we live as a result of that belief. The first refers to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second refers to our relationship with people, the basis of which is the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first refers to our spiritual self and comes before our material self, and the second refers to our material self as an outcome of our spiritual self. The first refers to our origin and final destination, Jannah. The second shows the path to get there. The first defines us in terms of who we are with respect to Allah. The second shows us our responsibility as a result of that belief, which defines us as a distinctive nation in the world. Islam, my brothers and sisters, is not the name of an ideology. Islam is the name of a practice. The Quran is not a book with a bunch of rules and stories. It is a book with rules that must be obeyed and for which we will be held accountable. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not merely a man with an interesting life to be read about. He was a man whose life was a living example to be followed, a demonstration of how the rules in the Quran are to be implemented. His life was the tafsir of the Quran, and that is why it is so important to study the seerah. My brothers and sisters, among the many things that we have left undone is this issue of study of the seerah, and I strongly recommend that to each and every one of you, starting with myself. The first ayah, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun, refers to the first kalima of Islam, La ilaha illallah, that there is nobody worthy of worship other than Allah, so I worship Allah only. Then the second ayah, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ, refers to the second kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. So I love him, I obey him, and I emulate him, and I follow him. The Kalima of Islam is not a statement of fact alone, but a statement of a very special relationship which comes with privileges. A relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A connection which sets a person apart by the access it gives him to the creator of the universe. When a person declares the kalima, he declares this relationship. So it is not only a matter of believing alone, but of acting on that belief, which gives credence to the fact that one is truthful to the belief. With the first part of the kalima, we declare our relationship with our Rabb, that we worship him alone and ask for help from him alone. The statement and declaration we make in every rakat of every salah when we say, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. O Allah, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. A declaration which entitles us to the next two ayats, which are dua for guidance. Guidance without which our destination would undoubtedly have been Jahannam. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim walad-dallin. Guide us to the path of steadfastness, the path of those you bestowed your blessings on, not of those who incurred your anger, nor those who went astray. We ask for this guidance, having first established our entitlement to it by declaring our loyalty to Allah and by asking for steadfastness on the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, the one who honors this relationship by not adulterating it, by joining partners, is inshallah entitled to guidance that will ensure that he enters Jannah. With the second part of the kalima, we declare our fealty and allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by accepting our position as his followers, who follow him out of love, duty and loyalty, by not only obeying all his instructions, which we know as itaat, but also by emulating him in every aspect of life, which is ittiba. Emulation is the surest sign of love, and the one who emulates Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of his love for him gains the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala underlined this emphatically by stating that he jalla jalaluhu will love the one who emulates his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, the following of the sunnah is not only about beards and topis. And I keep on saying that because that is the first step. If you can't even take that, what else can you do? It is about the whole attitude towards the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us, where we take on upon ourselves this statement and this position of arrogance, where we choose to decide what is important and what is not important, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make any such distinction. My brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those who he said he will love. When he said in this ayah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحُبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah said in Surah Al Imran, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to mankind, if you really love Allah, then emulate me, imitate me, follow me, and Allah will love you and forgive your sins. And Allah is oft forgiving and most merciful. The ayat relating to the formation of the ummah, which I quoted above, reflect this soul of Islam, a religion of love above all else. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which precedes our love for everything else and transcends our lives. The brotherhood of Islam is the foundation of this beautiful religion and its essence. It encompasses the entire life of a Muslim, private and public, internal and external, stated and practiced. A brotherhood of faith is what makes us Muslim. So how is this brotherhood different from friendship? Brotherhood is where honor is shared. Honoring one is to honor his brother. To attack one is to attack his brother. And that is why the greatest emphasis is placed on avoiding the evil of backbiting and slander, as it destroys the root of brotherhood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared it to eating the flesh of your dead brother. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that as a punishment, Allah will give your good deeds to the one that you were backbiting. So ask, how am I honoring my brothers or defending their honor? Or am I slandering them and assassinating their reputation? Jabir radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said The Muslim who forsakes and leaves a fellow Muslim brother and does not come to his assistance at a time when his honor is at stake will be denied the help of Allah when he is greatly in need of it. Whereas the Muslim who stands by a fellow Muslim at a time when his honor is at stake, Allah will grant him his assistance when he needs it the most. Ask yourself, how many times have you sat in company where one of your brothers was being slandered and where he was being blamed, and you sat silently and listened to that? You did not participate in it, but you were a participant in it because you listened to that slander. And your deeds and the deeds of the one who slandered are both equal. In that, they will leave your account and they go into the account of the brother who you were slandering. Ask how many times this happened and you kept silent. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you did that, then Allah will forsake you when you need him. In another hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He should neither harm him, nor should he leave him alone when others treat him unjustly. He should help him. Whoever fulfills the need of a fellow brother, Allah will fulfill his need. And whoever removes the distress of a fellow Muslim, Allah will remove his distress on the day of judgment. And whoever hides and keeps secret the faults and shame of a fellow Muslim, Allah will keep his sins secret on the day of account. Ask yourself, do you want your sins to be exposed before all of humanity on the day of judgment? And do you want to be humiliated and insulted before the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if that is what you want, then sit silently when your brothers are being slandered. Because that is absolute assurance that this will happen to you on the day of judgment. If not, open your mouth and stop the slandering. Otherwise, minimum, if you are such a coward, at least leave the place. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from creating differences amongst ourselves and from distinguishing ourselves and separating ourselves as groups and factions from our Islamic identity. He told us to hold fast to his rope, the rope of Allah, which secures us and saves us from the fire. He said, Jalla Jalaluhu, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Imran, and hold fast all of you together, jamian, to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not be divided amongst yourselves. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor on you, for you were enemies of one another, but he joined your hearts together, so that by his grace you became brothers in Islam. And you were on the brink of a pit of fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you from it. Thus Allah makes his ayat clear to you that you may be guided. What does this say about falling back into that pit of fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said you were on a pit of fire when there were differences amongst you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joined you together as brothers and saved you from the fire. So now when you create differences amongst yourselves again, what does it say about going back into that pit? How intelligent is that? My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu specifically prohibited divisions. So let us ask on what basis we make them. It is a sign of civilization. It's a sign of being civilized, not even of being Muslim, of just being civilized, that we accept the fact that people will have differences of opinion, and that we accept a person's difference in accepting or believing anything that he wants. We don't accept the belief, but we accept his right to believe that. It is a sign of civilization that we accept that people will have a different view on something. They have a right to their opinion. They have a right to believing that, and they have a right to express that. We understand that when they express that, that will be different from ours, and we can choose to see it as criticism of ours. So what? So what? Every time we say La ilaha illallah, we are criticizing everyone else who is not saying La ilaha illallah. So what shall we do? Stop giving dawah? Every time somebody else is worshipping some other god And every time somebody else is propagating the worship of some other being other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he or she is directly criticizing Islam. Not even indirectly, directly criticizing Islam. When somebody says Jesus saves, he is directly criticizing Islam. So what? He has a right to say that. I did not say that, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said it. We don't agree with that. But we also don't attack them for that reason. They have a right to their belief. If we are concerned about their difference from our belief, then it is our job either to ignore it completely or to address them in a civilized and proper manner and explain to them our belief, which we consider to be correct. I'm not saying there are many truths. There is only one truth according to us, just as there is only one truth according to others. Just because we believe something does not give us the right to attack and criticize somebody else. And this is what we see happening today across the world. People are being criticized and attacked, not because of anything that they did, not because they stole something from you, not because they murdered your wife or your children, but because they believe differently from what you believe. This is Muslim behavior. This is not even human behavior. This is completely barbaric, uncivilized behavior. And this is exactly what the Quran is telling us to avoid. If we form this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you go back to your asabiyat. You go back to your your time of jahiliyyah. And that was a time when you were on the brink of the pit of fire, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you from. My brothers and sisters, brotherhood is where the pain is shared. Compassion is the root of brotherhood. Shared pain and the willingness to alleviate it for others is what distinguishes us from animals. To live with concern for others is distinctly human. Service was the hallmark of this ummah. Yet today we have become people who only take but have forgotten to give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to give, not to take. He mentioned this responsibility and the reason why he called us khairul umam, best of people. And he said, Jalla Jalaluhu, that he created us for the benefit of all human beings. And he said, Kuntum khaira ummati nukhrijat linnas, ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. In Surah Al Imran, he said, you Muslims are the best of people ever raised up for the benefit of all mankind. You enjoy al ma'ruf, which is everything which is good and prescribed in Islam, and you prohibit al-munkar, which is all forms of sins and all forms of evil, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the best of people are those who are best in fulfilling rights. And this hadith is in Ibn Majah, and it's a sahih hadith. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the best of people are those that bring the most benefit to the rest of mankind. And this hadith is sahih, is hasan, and it is in Dharqutni. So let us ask who we are benefiting before we are asked who we benefited. Privilege comes with responsibility and accountability. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith which is in Muslim, the example of believers in regard to mutual love and affection and fellow feeling is like that of one body. When any limb of it aches, the whole body aches because of sleeplessness and fever. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I guarantee a house in Jannah for one who gives up arguing even if he is in the right. And he said, I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for the one who abandons lying, who does not tell a lie even as a joke. And he said, I guarantee a house in the highest part of Jannah for the one who has good manners. And this is in Abu Dawud. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported, a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this man asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, how many times should I pardon my servant? Listen to this one. He said, the man asked him, how many times should I forgive and pardon my servant? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reply. He remained silent. The man asked again, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many times should I pardon my servant? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 70 times each day. Not just 70 times. 70 times every day. And this is in Sunan Tirmidhi. My brothers and sisters, forgiveness is emphasized as it is at the root of all good relationships. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodied the spirit of forgiveness and used it to eliminate his enemies. He eliminated enemies by eliminating enmity, and that is what he taught his followers. He used forgiveness as a tool to build the ummah. Bearing grudges is like holding a live coal in your hand. It only burns you. If you forgive, you eliminate enemies. If you don't, you eliminate friends. Ask yourself who you want to eliminate. Rasulullah ﷺ forgave those who caused him untold material and emotional harm. He forgave those who harmed the ones he loved the most. He forgave those who were his sworn enemies until they became his trusted friends. Let us ask what the nature of our grudges and imaginary slights is on the basis of which we don't speak to our own brothers and sisters, and we try to assassinate them by assassinating their reputation and character, by slandering them and backbiting them and casting aspersions on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about forgiveness, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah said, the good deed and the evil deed cannot be equal. Repel the evil deed with one which is ahsan, which is the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoined on us and told us to be patient when we get angry and to excuse those who treat us badly. And then he said, and verily, if you do this, he between whom and you there was enmity will become your close friend. Brotherhood is to give your brother precedence over yourself. I was in a meeting with one of my clients, a family business with three sons, a multi-million dollar business, alhamdulillah, Muslims. One of them asked me, what will happen to my children if I die? The three brothers, one of the brothers asked me, what will happen to my children if I die? I said to him, while they will mourn your passing, they will actually be better off. Because after your death, they will have two fathers to look after them. Right now they have only one. After you die, they will have two fathers, your other two brothers who will be alive. My brothers and sisters, in terms of brotherhood, for a brother to look after his brother's children as his own is not remarkable. It is something to be expected. And it's a matter of the brother's honor that he does this. For an honorable person, it would actually be almost insulting to be complimented on looking after his brother's children like his own. If you looked after your brother's children like your own and somebody said, mashallah, what a wonderful job you are doing, if you have any honor, you should feel insulted on that remark. How can somebody praise me for doing something which is my honor to do? I don't know, where have we lost all this? Wallah alam. My brothers and sisters, friendship is our choice. Brotherhood is a gift from Allah. And a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored by mentioning himself as the basis of it. Brotherhood is the thing that transcends all boundaries of color, tribe, race and nationality, because it rises above them all and invokes the only relationship that transcends death, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is how the brotherhood of faith, the ummah, even supersedes our biological brotherhood, because the latter ends with death, but the former carries on into our akhirah. That is the relationship that we will be called by as the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not as this or that nation or tribe. On the day of judgment, we will not be said, all Hyderabadis come here, all Yemenis go there, all Saudis go somewhere else, all Jordanians go somewhere, all British go somewhere. No. All of us together will be called, and we ask Allah to include us among those as the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this will be an address of honor, which was the envy of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. There's a famous hadith relating to Musa alayhi salam, a Nabi who had such a relationship with Allah. Then Musa alayhi salam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day, he said, Ya Rabbal Alameen, you have honored my ummah and you have given them great honor in the world, and you have selected them from the people and you have made them very honorable as they are the Muslims. And Musa alayhi salam said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asked him and he said, is there any ummah which will have precedence over my ummah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes. Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, which ummah is this? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ummatu Ahmad, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Rabbal Alameen, show me this ummah. Show me this ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will show you the ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called and said, Ya Ummatu Muhammad. And remember, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not come into existence yet. This is happening in a way which Allah knows. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called, Ya Ummatu Muhammad. And alhamdulillah, we all answered. And we said, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, what a beautiful voice, what a beautiful response. And Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Rabbal Alameen, make me the Nabi of the Summa. Make me the Nabi of the Summa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya Musa, I have given you what I have to give you. And I have honored you and I have given you the ummah. This ummah is not for you. This ummah is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, if you will not make me the Nabi of this ummah, then count me and make me an ummati of that Nabi. Who is saying this? Musa alayhi salam. Kalimullah. Kalimullah. You know and I know from the ahadith relating to the last days that Isa alayhi salam, another one of the ulul azam min al anbiya, a man whose status and so on I don't have to glorify and speak about, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorified it in his kalam, that Isa alayhi salam will come down on the earth close to the day of judgment. And then Isa alayhi salam will pray behind whom? He will pray behind the leader of the Muslims, who will be called Al-Mahdi at that time. And why will he pray behind the leader of the Muslims? Because he will say, I am a Muslim and I am an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, this address of honor of being an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come to the Salafis, did not come to the Barelvis, did not come to the Deobandis, did not come to the Tablighis, did not come to the Jamatis, did not come to the this is and that is. It came to the Muslims. It came to the whole ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you want to distinguish yourself as this one and that one, then please understand you are removing yourself from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if you reject the others, then effectively you reject yourself. Because you are saying, I am not from them. If you are not from them, then decide who you are from. Because they are from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I mentioned, we have a right to believe whatever we believe. And on the day of judgment, we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those beliefs and with those dalail. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to put us in a situation where on that day we find that those dalail were wrong. But in this world, irrespective of what anyone wants to believe, we have a right to disagree with them, but we have no right to attack them. We have no right to disagree with them in an uncivilized manner. We have a right and we have a privilege and an obligation that we express any disagreement that we have in the best and most beautiful manner. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Allah said, respond in the best way. Allah did not say respond in the worst way. He said respond in the best way. If anyone is teaching you anything other than this, reject that person. What deen is this? The deen which teaches you to attack another Muslim? This is Islam? Islam does not even teach you to attack another non-Muslim. Islam does not teach you to attack anybody. And you listen to people who tell you that you must kill this one and that one because he said this and he said that. What Islam is this? This is not the Islam of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, we have reached a very serious and very critical stage in the history of ourselves as the Ummah, where we have to take stances. You cannot simply sit on the fence. You can't simply shut your mouth and keep quiet while things are happening around you. You cannot simply shut your mouth and keep quiet while your Muslim brothers are being attacked and they are being slandered and things are happening where you should stand up and speak and you should be counted. And remember, as I told you, I am not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah. If you want to reject it, go ahead. It's your choice. Rasulullah said very clearly that if you choose to remain silent, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain silent when you need His help. Decide for yourself. If you want the help of Allah, then open your mouth and speak the truth. Fear no one except Allah. Fear no one except Allah. What can anyone do to you? They can kill you, you will die anyway. What a strange world we live in. Please, let us not fall into this trap. We are Muslims. We are supposed to be benchmarks and examples for other people. What is the example that we are showing the world? We do things on a daily basis where it has become difficult to walk in the world and be recognized as a Muslim. Don't let the Ummah become ashamed of being the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of what you do. My brothers and sisters, therefore let us ensure that we never bring dishonor to ourselves by violating that relationship of the Ummah, by allowing asabiyat, chauvinism, nationalism, tribalism to adulterate this concept of being the Ummah. We are Muslims, and that is what distinguishes us. So ask, how am I honoring my brothers? How am I defending their honor? Or am I slandering them and am I assassinating their reputation? Ask. Allah specifically prohibited us from creating divisions. So what is our basis of making those divisions? Ask, who am I benefiting? And ask this before you and I are asked who we benefited. And remember that if you forgive, you eliminate enemies. And if you don't, you eliminate friends. So ask, who do I want to eliminate? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and to accept your coming and to accept your ibadat and to accept your du'as. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from all calamities. It is my duty and I'm very sorry that I have to do it, to inform you of a very tragic thing which happened with one of our dear brothers and one of our musallis here. a young man by the name of Muhammad Al-Mashjari from Saudi Arabia, who is one of our regular musallis here, and he used to be with us in Etikaf and so on. His family was traveling back from Yemen to Riyadh, and they met with an accident, and at one shot he lost his father, his mother, his brother and his sister, all four of them. Imagine what kind of calamity this is. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I ask you to make dua, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter them, to count them among shuhada, and to enter them into Jannatul Firdaus ul-A'la bi ghayri hisab. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Muhammad and his younger brother and his elder sister, only three left in that family. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them sabr to deal with this calamity, subhanAllah. How do we? It's not even possible for us to understand this. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep that state. And still may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in our hearts to have the compassion to feel for our brothers and sisters. The second incident which I again heard about, and it's been coming from all over the place, many news and information, is the attack, the unsuccessful attack, alhamdulillah, on my dear friend and brother Mufti Ismail Musa Menk in Durban, where some people tried to kill him, and that is according to them because of a difference of opinion between his belief and their belief. What Islam is this? What Islam is this? And what is even worse is the deathly silence of everybody after that. And that is where I decided that I will not remain silent. I will say what has to be said. And I am saying that this kind of behavior is barbaric and uncivilized and completely and totally un-Islamic. Nobody has the right to attack someone else because they have a difference of belief from our belief. And therefore, I condemn this action completely and totally, and I ask you to do the same. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect Mufti Menk and his family, and protect all those who stand for the haq and all those who speak the haq from those who want to attack them because they said La ilaha illallah. And final request for dua for our dear brother and musalli, Janab Khalid Hussain Sahib, who is in hospital just now with a cardiac incident. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restore his health completely and to bring him back home totally and safely, and to help him in this time of trial, and to accept his du'as and accept our du'as in his favor. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease all the difficulties that go with such an incident. I remember him, he's one of our very regular musallis, alhamdulillah, every Jummah and otherwise, and Ramadan and everything else, he and his son, they always come. May Allah bless them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and to protect him and to give him relief from his suffering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the complete and total recovery and health of all our other brothers and sisters who are in different ailments, who are caught in different ailments. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal them all, because there is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot heal. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.